Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
I thought that was a computer or something booting up. I'm like, what is this noise? What is this noise?
So I'm going to mute the J Clone 763 so he can go turn off the AC unit because we're still in Ronald McDonald Charity House. We're at we're at the Ronald McDonald Charity House. Me and Emily are up here. We're probably going to be up here for a while. Me and Jay's goal, I think, is to it'll turn off in a second. I think. I don't know. I'm sorry, everybody. This is real. This is how life is.
It hadn't played. Or the AC didn't turn on the whole time.
We were setting up
right when you hit
right
mic on or whatever. I don't know the right terminology.
Yeah. So. We tried to do an episode over the internet, and the Wi-Fi here is really, it's not bad, but there's a lot of people up here using it.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
So there'd be like 30 minutes of being fine, and then 5 minutes of just,
even the 30 minutes is being kind of generous.
I did an interview last night, and that's about how it was.
Oh, okay.
It'd be like a 30-minute chunk, and then it would, then it would go off for a minute. But Jay decided to come up here and hang out with me or just record in person.
Much easier this way. Better quality. So. You know, I'm doing it for all you out there.
Yeah, because I couldn't tell the quality from my end.
Listen to Freaky Fauna Friday.
Yeah.
The Echidna episode. And let us know what you think.
All right. So I got an episode for you called Disappearing Islands.
Oh.
But there's a secret title to this episode that all of the listeners already know.
A secret title?
Yeah, it's just a secret for you. Because they'll read it and be like, oh, that's awesome. It's, it's time for that one.
Hmm. Wait, so it's just a secret for me?
Yeah. You'll probably figure it out about halfway through the episode, like always.
Okay, we'll see.
All right. So,
I think I know what it is.
Already?
Because I only know one disappearing island. I only know one.
Okay. Anyways. Phantom Island Undiscovered is the name of our first article we're going to be using.
Okay.
Undiscovered. So for decades, it was a feature on world's maps. Viewed on Google Earth, the Sandy Island appeared as a dark, translucent, like a silvery, like silver color, set amid a shimmering vastness of Pacific Ocean. But when marine scientists arrived at the island in the Coral Sea off of Australia, there was something of a shock. It didn't exist.
Island was gone.
It was, so I want to make very clear, it was on a bunch of navigational charts. It was on Google Earth.
It was on Google Earth?
Yes.
So this is recent?
This is a little bit recent because this is in between when Google Earth redid the pictures.
Yeah, I mean.
It's now you're spoiling stuff. It's not on the second set. It's on the first set.
Okay. Well, I just mean it's recent as far as being, it was when Google Earth existed.
Yes, within the last couple decades.
All right.
It didn't exist, you know? So there was supposed to be a sandy outcrop complete with palm trees, a few coconuts, and turtles in the marbly blue water. The Australian scientist led by Mara Sutton, a geologist from Sydney University, had embarked on the voyage to study plate tectonics. So this is what they thought was an upcrop of these rocks. So they were like, we can study some of these deep earth elements that are being pushed up.
But it was gone?
The spot that had this this island lay in all along this route. So there were several puzzling descriptions or discrepancies. Though the island appeared on Google Earth maps, there were no images of it.
Okay.
It also had been featured for the past 12 years that the usually reliable World Coastline database.
Hmm.
So like they're saying that this is a pretty renowned database that normally there's not a lot of
mistakes
alone a whole island that doesn't exist.
Right, yeah.
But Dr. Steve, I'm going to try to say his last name. Mikletiwatitai.
Is he Hawaiian?
He may be Pacific Islander. I don't know. He's in Australia. A crew member from the University of Western Australia recalled, "We were upstairs at the bridge and we found that the navigation charts on the ships used didn't have it on it also. And it was at this point we thought, well, who do we trust? Do we trust the Google Earth and the old navigation charts, or do we trust the current ones?"
Hmm.
The scientist added, "This was one of those intriguing questions. It wasn't far outside our path, so we decided to actually sail through the island."
Just straight through where it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lo and behold, there was absolutely nothing. The ocean floor didn't even get shallower.
Oh.
It was more than 1,300 meters to the bottom, right where the island was supposed to be.
Mm.
So that's kind of thought when they were coming up on it is that, maybe it washed away or something like that, you know, had a volcano. So they're expecting a caldera. We talked about it in the Stellar Sea Cow episode that there's these...
Seagrasses, yeah, meadows.
It's like 40 foot below the open ocean.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what they were expecting. Nothing.
Nothing.
There was no remnants of an island.
Huh.
"There's an island in the middle of nowhere that doesn't actually exist," is his quote.
Well, I mean, that's easily explainable, though. They don't know how to navigate.
I'm just going to call that scientist Mikkel. That's the kind of the first part of his...
That scientist what?
Mikkel.
Mikkel?
That's like it's like nickel, but with an M.
Yeah, what's that mean?
That's the first part of his name, his last name.
Oh.
It's like his last name is every letter in the alphabet. Told the Sydney Morning Herald that the ship's captain was nervous about running aground and proceeded with caution and as they made their undiscovery. "We all had a good giggle at Google as we sailed through the island. I was one of those that were happy circumstances in science. You come across something and somebody has never noticed before."
Hmm.
So the scientist would then send the correct data to the authorities and get the world map fixed, he said. The non-discovery took place during the 25-day expedition by Australia's Marine National Facility and the board of RV Southern Surveyor Research Vessel. Had the island existed, it would have belonged to the French, since its location is near the archipelago New Caledonia, which has its own mysteries.
The French?
The French own all kinds of weird islands everywhere, like Madagascar. Well, they don't own it anymore, but they did forever.
Did they used to own Haiti?
Probably.
Hmm.
If it was a nefarious
French.
It could have been. Speaking on Thursday, Danny Dorling, president of the British Society of Cartography, said it was not surprising that the error had crept in. "You can't create a perfect map. You never will," he said. "Our current world map is a collection of highly accurate satellite images and some of the oldest data collection from the Admiral charts." So he's just going in that it's a mix.
Right,
you know,
we're
using modern data and some of this old data.
Yeah.
It will never have a perfect map. So he's saying it's not unusual to have one of these blips pop up. Humans have been making maps for thousands of years. That probably predates writing. The earliest cave painting map was around 30,000 years ago, as far as they can tell. According to Dorling, maps serve two purposes. One practical, to help us navigate and find our way around. The other existential, to give us a sense of presence, to define our place in a larger and even ever-changing planet.
Interesting.
It gives you a sense of identity, it says.
Oh, man. You hear the sirens. I hope they didn't pick up on the mic.
There's going to be a lot. We're right by the ER.
Yeah, man. All right.
It's just gonna how it's gonna how it's have to be.
It's good sound effects. It's like they're calling in the sirens for like, we're looking for this missing island report.
Dorling said that in the case of the Sandy Island, it was probably human error that had led to this creation. Charts were, after all, originally compiled by sailors using a watch and measuring latitude. The ancient sailors traveled by stars. Far from being fixed, the world map is malleable too, with new islands and archipelagos appearing following volcanic eruptions and others disappearing in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep going on and on and on, and they kind of talk about that it's not so weird.
Right.
That an island disappears
or some form, yeah, but it is weird that it's still 1,300 meters deep
so
with no sign of an island.
You caught it.
What?
That's what I was coming back to.
That was the weird part?
Yes, because they kind of, there's more to this article that they kind of go into saying about the sandy, you know, these giant shallow reefs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And how that could lead to some of these, you know, mistakes.
Right.
And it's not with this one.
No, this one's completely different.
It's in actually a very deep spot in this part of the ocean, in the mm-hmm. Coral Sea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called the Coral Sea because it's packed with coral reefs and stuff like that. So this is in a deep trench in there.
So I wonder if it was because they said it had palm trees and turtles and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's that big trash island floating around that Google caught.
Now, that's an interesting thought. There's some of those do grow plants, but it's not like most of the trash islands aren't like physical, like you can't walk on them.
Right, yeah.
It's beaded plastic.
But I was thinking like the satellite image picked it up. Yeah. And it's like, oh, there's an island, and Google's not all-knowing like they pretend to be.
So moving islands in history.
Hmm.
So I don't think, personally, this island disappeared. I think it just moved.
Oh.
Because it happens a lot. It kind of sounds weird.
Oh, yep.
Do you have a guess?
I know now.
Go ahead.
I don't want to ruin it.
No, it's... Remember, they have the title.
They have the title?
Yeah.
How?
The listeners get the title before they get to listen to the episode.
Well, that's true, I suppose.
You're the one that's being surprised.
I think what you're leading me into is its island may not be an island.
Right.
It may be alive.
So it's...
On the back of a turtle.
Is that what you're going with?
Giant turtle.
Yes. Emily's in the room, too. No.
Yes, it's a giant turtle. It's not the Bloop.
There you go.
It's a giant...
Welcome to Bloop Part 3.
Oh, no. It is the Bloop?
Yes, you completely picked the wrong...
The Bloop is a giant turtle.
No, it's not.
We'll talk about it. Debatable.
No, this is Disappearing Islands, the Bloop Part 3.
Bloop is a giant turtle. It's extended.
Do you not remember our Bloop episodes?
Yeah, I do. What about them?
I know. Giant colonial organisms and crustacean like thing.
Right. Some maybe giant arthropod or some coral monster. Even maybe a sea sponge.
A big sponge we talked about.
Yeah.
All right.
Or a giant turtle.
Let's talk about some famous disappearing islands. So some of these are episode worthy on their own.
Okay.
Our first one specifically is one I thought about, is High Brazil. You know anything about High Brazil?
Is that up by, like, Iceland and area?
Ireland.
Ireland, yeah.
Ireland.
Wasn't it also known as Doggerland?
No, that's something different.
That's something different? Yeah. Okay.
So before Brazil was known to Europeans, there was High Brazil, an island off the west coast of Ireland.
Yeah.
High Brazil was shown on nautical maps for centuries before finally being removed from the charts in 1860.
Ooh.
Irish legend has long talked about this land to the west, which intercepted voyagers that they had found. Basically, they'd crash land on there. But High Brazil was more than an endearing myth. When John Cobalt, the first European to land on North America mainland since the Vikings, returned from his expedition, he reported that he had been led to the lands discovered in the past by a man from Bristol who found Brazil.
Mm.
So they were. He just said Brazil. As an explorer, became more intense. There are were fewer and fewer places for hide Brazil to hide on the maps. So it was kind of moving around this part of the ocean.
Yeah.
As more and more vessels were going out to explore North America and, you know, Scandinavia and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Not Scandinavia. Canada.
Oh, just what's, Canada?
But it's the...
Scanda Canada?
No. Oh. The names escape me.
Scandinadia.
But the names escape me. Not Saskatchewan.
Just some... You're trying to think of some
there's
Canadian...
The Canadian coast has a name.
Oh, gosh. Not Newfoundland.
It's Newfoundland, but it's the bigger...
Prince Edward Islands over
Nova
there.
Nova Scotia, I guess.
Nova Scotia.
So, as the explorer became more intense and there were fewer places for hide Brazil to hide on the map, legends rose to explain its absence. It was supposedly always surrounded with a thick fog, except for one day every 7 years, for instance. Maps began to show the island was ever smaller feature until it legally or legibly mirror a Brazil of rocks.
Hmm.
A lonely mountain in the sea. So it kept shrinking and shrinking and shrinking.
Was it shrinking or sinking?
Now there's that. Also, there was tons of, and let's keep in mind, this is like 15, 16 centuries or whatever.
Or one of those, yeah.
Where people would say they could see it from the coastline of Ireland.
Uh-huh.
Or once every 7 years, they could look out and actually see it.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back to this.
That's like, if you're at Cedar Point, and well, rest in peace, top thrill dragster. But on a clear day, if you get at the top of that and you look over at Canada, you can see Canada.
You can see Canada. So one expedition that had claimed they had landed on Hyde Brazil reported it was inhabited by huge black rabbits and a single magician. From his lonely stone castle, the magician began to distribute gold and silver to the visitors.
Wow.
Just as like a trick-or-treaters, basically.
Yeah, welcome.
So we're going to do a full episode on this. At one point, Hyde Brazil.
This magician?
He's a big part. But there was tons of expeditions. Tons of people claimed to have ended up on this island.
Step foot on it?
And it was always in different spots.
Hmm.
And I kind of think, so tying this into the bloop, you know, when we did the bloop episodes, we talked about the bloop maybe, and we're talking single massive organisms.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't that far where the giant submarine tracking kept going missing. The 12-foot wide cable, 60 miles of it would go missing, and like it looked like it was chewed up by an animal and dragged into the trench.
Yep.
This is not that far from there.
Oh, really?
A few hundred miles.
That's where that missing island is?
Yeah.
Okay.
The High Brazil.
Oh, just High Brazil.
High Brazil. Okay, the other one's in the Pacific.
Gotcha.
So, in my mind, great white sharks are famous for this, is that they're on like 4-year cycles. So, well, they'll visit the same spots every 4 years, almost to the day.
Okay.
So what if that's what's happening here? That's how the legends formed around every 7 years. You could see it for a little bit out in the in the Northern Atlantic.
Well, how big would this shark be then?
I'm not saying it's a shark.
Oh.
I'm saying it's migrating like that.
Something.
It's on a route.
Gotcha. Understood. Okay.
So it's on that much of a timed route that you could set your watch by it.
Hmm.
And so it would crawl up whatever this animal organism is or organisms are. It crawled up on the shallow. Like the flat area, and could see its back for a while,
right?
And as it was feeding up there, then go back out into the trench, and now it's eating the Russian tracking cable,
right? Yeah, or that's in its way. Or it's
if nobody's listened to that episode, you should check it out. That was crazy.
Was that the bloop part two?
That
maybe?
Was part two.
Okay,
that was,
or was it part one?
No, it was part two.
It was okay.
It was where I think it was 60 miles, 12 foot wide cable. And it was, I can't remember, like 400 or 500 metric tons or something stupid like that.
And what was it, like a mile chunk worth of chunk?
No, 60 miles.
60 miles?
Went missing.
Just.
And it would look like it was chewed apart and dragged into the trench that was like 40 miles away.
Yeah, which is insane.
So like a giant crustacean, which we talked about in that episode. Lobsters and crabs are famous for getting really, really mad at internet cables and stuff like that in the ocean.
It's got to have some...
It drives them crazy.
Like electromagnetic...
Yeah. It's frying their brains.
Yeah.
So it's driving them crazy. So now if you have a supersized one, they can actually do something about it.
He did.
Yeah. So what do you think about that with High Brazil being a living island?
Yeah, I could see that. Or I kind of had the thought maybe it's a... like it's a portal area... And it's an interdimensional thing where you're peeking through a veil.
People said that it phases in and out too.
Yeah. Like you're looking, maybe it's not in the ocean there, but it's you're looking through into another world where you see this island. I don't know.
No, it could be. There's a lot. High Brazil, and like I guess that was a very brief glance at High Brazil.
Right. Yeah. Shoot.
Tons of expeditions have been there. The giant rabbits were a common thing. Hmm. They were like dog-sized black rabbits.
Hmm.
So that was kind of a lead through for a lot of that stuff. The semi pages is our next one, or semi gauges.
Oh, semi gauges.
The semi plages. It's Greek.
Okay, I can't see it. I don't know.
Well, it's, you're not going to.
Yeah.
So this is our next active island chain we're going to talk about.
Ooh, active.
This one people used to play chicken with.
Okay, like they'd ride their boats at it.
Yeah, so the ancient Greeks were keen sailors, and unsurprisingly, many of their myths featured islands with incredible features. To the boats moving with the tides and the winds, it must sometimes have seemed as if the rocks were out to get you.
Mm.
In some cases, like the semi-pages or gauges, they actually were. According to the myth of Jason and the Argonauts, the semi-gauges were a pair of massive rock outcrops in the ocean. So kind of think of it almost like a giant crab claw sticking out of the ocean.
Okay.
The only navigable path through these waters was to pass in between them.
Right in the middle.
Any ship that tried was doomed, as the rocks would clamp together and crush any ships or anything that passed through them. But Jason had used a cunning way to escape this destruction. He set loose a bird to fly between the semi-gauges. Sensing something trying to pass through, the cliff slammed shut. The bird did escape, but was missing all of its tail feathers.
Ooh, narrowly.
As the rocks, the cliffs were just starting to retreat, Jason the Argonauts gunned it, trying to get through as fast as they could.
Ring.
And it had to reset. And as soon as it tried to slam, it actually took the back end, the keel off the boat.
Is that the back end?
Yeah.
Okay.
It slammed shut on that, and they made it to shore.
Good thing it wasn't an offboard motor, because they lost it.
The rock was so upset with its defeat, it was said to close and sink into the ocean forever altogether.
Ah, oh, he made the mountain sad.
Now, some people talk about this thing as being an actual Leviathan.
Right, yeah.
And that it wasn't always there. And it depends on which, keep in mind, we're talking about the ancient Greeks, their legends and lore
right.
have been, you know, it's hard to look back and get an accurate depiction of what people were saying then.
What is it? They've been, not fantasized, but they've been... Romanticized.
I think that's appropriate for like the stories and stuff.
Exaggerated.
That's also. But these cliffs were on they were on charts and stuff at the time.
Yeah.
But they weren't always there. So to me, it seems like it could be another one of our living islands.
Mm. Well, it's slamming shut.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think it was? I had a couple ideas. Do you think it was doing that on purpose, or do you think it was a byproduct of it just moving and these two or three jutting parts of its body were just like clamping together?
Well, if something that big, I wouldn't think it just would move around with ease, especially slamming closed.
So Scandinavian legends originally talk about the Kraken being a crustacean.
Mm.
And a lot of times it would leave one of its claws out of the water and it would crush anything that sailed in between it.
Mm.
So a very similar myth from very far away.
Yeah.
Different people, different times.
Same.
And it just made you think of these massive organisms. Well, I don't know if it's doing it on purpose or if it's a reflex or if it just is, it's so big.
I mean, it could be right under there watching, like waiting, mm-hmm. timing.
I mean, if it is a crab, crabs will kill everything that they can.
Right, yeah. They'll fight anything. You ever seen that crab with a knife?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They give one a gun. There's one with a Molotov cocktail. There's one with a gun.
They'll use it. They'll find a way.
So what do you think of the semi-gauges?
I mean, it would make most sense. I mean, let's just imagine the stories are 100% real. This really happened. It would make most sense. It has to be something living. I don't think it's just an island doing it on its own.
A floating island. Just could be rocks that were floating.
Even so, if the rocks are floating, then I don't think they're going to be dense enough to... be causing too much damage. I don't care how big they are.
Oh, pumice stones. A 120-foot tall pumice stone would destroy a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it weighs about 6 pounds.
No, so Antilia is our next one.
Antilia, okay. Mm-hmm.
Antilia.
Antia.
No.
It might be.
It quite possibly is. It was found somewhere in the far west of the Atlantic. Was known as the Isle of the Seven Cities.
Ooh.
When Spain fell to the Muslim invaders from North Africa in 714, the legend of Antilia tells of how seven disciples or bishops fled with their followers to the islands beyond the sea. Their ships even made it to this island, and the seven bishops were all split to create their own cities, hence the name the Isle of Seven Cities. This is near Bermuda.
I was just going to say, okay, but no, keep going, keep going.
714.
Long time ago.
Yeah. We have this idea, American school system, with Christopher Columbus and all this, getting to North America and all that. Like it was
Christopher
that.
Christopher Columbus. Like it was that hard. 1492.
These guys made it to Bermuda in 714.
Right, yeah.
Bermuda is, there's still a big chunk of ocean left between Bermuda and mainland North America.
Uh-huh.
But you already got most of the way there.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you got a nice stop-off point to refuel and stock up on supplies before you.
How many islands you say there were? Seven islands?
This is a giant archipelago.
Oh.
The seven cities on this one island.
Oh, it's just one island.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I mean, I think I figured this one out already. You know, you got Bermuda, Bahama.
Come on, pretty mama.
Key Largo, Montego.
Baby, you want to make me go?
Down to Kokomo.
Yes.
That's five.
I think that's all we can say of the song.
Oh, okay.
Beach Boys connected to Marilyn Manson.
No,
not Marilyn Manson.
Charlie Manson.
Charlie Manson. For hundreds of years, Antilia continued to be shown on maps. Its location changed as expeditions failed to make contact with it, but the legend only seemed to grow from there. A Portuguese ship driven out to the ocean by bad weather is said to have landed on Antilia around 1430.
Hmm.
The crew went to church with the inhabitants, but fled, afraid of being trapped there forever. The sailors had found that the sand of the island was composed largely of gold. Desperate to stir up the discovery of Antilia, but it was never relocated.
Hmm.
So this Portuguese ship is kind of why the legend got solidified, as it still existed.
Okay.
Because people were looking for it, because it was a large group of people went out into the ocean, into this island.
And they never returned.
Well, yeah, they had contact and correspondence with them for a while, and then it kind of stopped.
How? Pigeon?
Ships, like passing lanes and stuff like that. Okay. Ship lanes.
Okay, I was just saying. Like,
but after a while, they stopped communicating, and Antilia became a myth. But the people would say they'd seen it, and more than this group of Portuguese people said that they crash landed on it. The people were nice, but kind of weird. I mean, you'd be living on an island for 1,000 years.
Oh, the people that fled there and was living there. Yeah.
Okay. They were nice, but they were kind of weird. And, you know, this is kind of the time where they're talking about cannibals on islands, and, you know, yeah, and all this stuff. So they kind of freaked them out, and everybody wanted to get out.
I mean, but that's like almost 700 years being isolated if they were the only ones on that island the whole time, which I kind of highly doubt as well, too. But I'm sure they had visitors from, you know, the people that live in America before.
Before. So then eventually it did. So this one I added on the list because it seemed like it moved. From looking into the research and doing some of the charts and stuff like that, mm-hmm, it was closer to Bermuda, and then it was closer to the other islands, and it would be out of the archipelago and then be back in the archipelago. So what if they depicted, like, there's some old depictions of people actually setting up cities on backs of animals.
Like big turtles?
Whales, mostly.
Oh, whales.
The fantasized whales with the two spouts on the head and stuff like that.
Okay.
Where they look like big fish. Specifically, St. Bernard's Travels is the next one we're going to talk about. But, yeah, what do you think of Antilia?
Well, this is an area where, you know, where whales will come. You know, it's near Daytona Beach, right? It's getting somewhere in that area.
I mean, yes, I mean, as far as it's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's a weird one. I wonder how long Bermuda Triangle has been like a weird spot on Earth, too. So who knows?
Anything
could be possible.
Oh. Holy moly.
I got my buttons back.
Who knows? Anything could be possible.
Buttons are pretty. If you listen to our Patreon March Madness finale.
Oh, my gosh. When you had the soundboard, you're just hitting them every second.
I was button happy.
So St. Bernard's Travels. St. Bernard was a 6th century Irish monk who was known as the Navigator for his habit of traveling. It is also known that he voyaged to many of the smaller islands and found around Britain at the time, where Masonic communities were gathering.
Boom, boom, boom.
I don't know. A later story from Bernard's visiting islands from an entirely different type, though. 2 centuries after the saint's death, a book titled The Voyages of St. Bernard and the Abbot was written. And it charted his travels in the search of an island of paradise.
Mm.
On a 7-year voyage in the Atlantic, Bernard and his crew made a strange discovery. On one island, they found a dog and food left out for a feast, but no people.
Okay.
So this is just one island.
Right.
They found like a dog and a food left out.
But the people were all missing.
Yeah.
Ghost town.
Yeah.
But the food is out.
Yeah. And I looked into that one a little more. It almost seemed like the island, they kind of thought it was submerging and then popping back up, and the dog may have made it up to the mountain and, you know, stayed above and came back down.
Yeah.
But it seemed like the island they thought was sinking and then would reemerge.
Well,
and that's a common theme in a lot of these nautical tales, is islands that can dive and come back up.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Buoyant.
That, or, you know, if it's a volcanic feature, I don't know if it could be like a giant pumice stone like we were joking about earlier.
Yeah.
But if there's something literally with that, that...
Well, remember, you've seen the... Not remember, but you've seen the images of Mount St. Helens before it blows, you know, right? Where they showed, like, the photographs, I don't know, in a progression of time before the volcano goes off, and you see the whole side of the mountain swelling and swelling, like, literally growing. Mm-hmm. But not, I don't think anything you'd notice standing on top of it in real time, but over time. So I could see an island doing the same thing if there's volcanic activity under it, just growing, swelling, or shrinking, you know, both one way or another.
So on the next island, they discovered the birds of paradise.
Oh.
Where all the birds were singing hymns to God. But the only animals on this island were birds.
Bird Island. Bird up.
Same archipelago.
Okay.
So another thought I had is, why would only birds survive on this island?
No, I go on, finish. Why?
Birds and plants.
Yeah.
Plants are affixed to the ground. Birds can fly up while it's submerged and wait for it to reemerge.
Oh, okay. That would work. That makes sense.
That's one of the thoughts I had, is it's like, because they were talking about there was no insects, there was no, like, a lot of that stuff. So birds can, in my head, they're kind of flying above the island as it's waiting for it to pop back up.
Maybe, or what if this is just the island where all birds are created?
That could be. No, that's the hole out in Utah.
Huh? The hole? Mel's hole?
Mel's hole. The metal birds, birds of paradise that came out of the hole were metal.
That's just the...
The tumor seal creates all birds.
Oh, okay.
That's lore.
I thought the tumor seal just opened the portal, the bird porthole portal.
No.
So let's see.
The tumor seal makes birds.
I think they're made on this. Maybe the tumor seal lives on this island.
This is where the portal ends.
Yeah, it comes out. See, no, this, they all form here on this island, and then they're released throughout the world through portals.
On yet another island. Sorry, you made me laugh. On yet another island, the crew lit a fire, only to find out the island started bucking around, and then it swam away. They were actually on the back of the best thing they could quote as a gigantic whale, fit with trees and everything. So another whale proved more biteable, as it allowed them to celebrate Eastern Mass on its back. So they found out later that it looked like this whole chain of island was on the back of a pod of this best they could describe as whales.
I don't think it's whales.
I don't. It's just an. It's like,
no,
leviathan.
They just pick whale. Yeah, but I think it's turtles.
Bernard did eventually find his island of paradise and found a lovely. It found it just as lovely as the name suggests. Renamed Saint Bernard's Island, it appeared on many maps. Sightings of the island occurred all the way into the 18th century, but after that, were never seen again.
That's pretty. I mean, relatively recently.
So, you ever seen Sinbad the animated?
Oh, like the pirate?
Yeah.
No, I never have.
So that's that. One of the encounters in that was inspired by St. Bernard's story.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Where they end up on a ship and they light it and they rip off like a rock off the ground and it starts bleeding.
It's like a mole or something.
And this giant eye opens up and they freak out. This is a giant fish, but it had palm trees and stuff. But all the trees like anemones suck back in to protect themselves because they can sense the whales about to start taken off.
Oh, gotcha. So it pulls them in.
Yeah.
Huh.
No, so there's that.
I think it's
turtle. Do you think so far?
I think it's these are all turtles.
It's funny you mentioned that.
I'm sure you got one more right with a turtle based.
I don't have any turtle based ones.
Okay. Well, you said funny you mentioned that.
I just was giving you false hope.
Oh, well. Didn't the Native Americans, like, their whole world, like their worldview map or whatever, all the lands were sitting on the back of a giant turtle in the ocean.
So several cultures had that.
Yeah.
Not all Native Americans. That's a, you know, that's a lump sum.
Well, right. Yeah.
Some groups of the Native Americans had it because they used turtles as a crater spirit, a god figure, because the turtle scutes tell all the seasons.
Right.
And then I don't know if it's Greek or what, that had it with the elephants are on the back of a turtle, I think. Then the elephants are holding up the world.
Ah, see, it all comes down to the turtle.
And then there was Oddworld, to where all universes are on the backs of giant space turtles that swim around in the... But they got to watch out for sharks.
See? Turtles. Turtles.
All right. I got one more for you.
All right. Turtle Island?
Atlantis.
Ooh, okay.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
I just had this one in there because it was the most famous disappearing island.
Probably.
Besides, like, Lemuria and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
Lemuria is a good one, too.
And they're basically the same thing, just different oceans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so while most of the islands on this list have probably been dismissed as mere fiction, there is still a lot today that proclaim in the belief of Atlantis. Atlantis, Plato, the philosopher, tells us it was a mighty island and civilization in the Atlantic Ocean. The Atlanteans were half-divine people living on the riches of their island. They were incredibly powerful, but not powerful enough to save themselves. He describes how the island was sunk by an earthquake, or fire was sent down by the gods to punish them. Hmm. It was described as the whole island crawling back into the sea. Though Plato placed his accounts of the Atlanteans in his own distant past, 9,000 years before him, it has not stopped people from looking for the real Atlantis. Plato was a philosopher, not a geographer or a historian. Most academics believe that he was telling a story with a message. However, those that believe in Atlantis is a real place have located it in spots all across the globe. Believers have told that Atlantis is in the Caribbean, the Atlantic, off the Indian coast, the Northern Sea, and even the Andes.
Yeah, I've heard pretty much all of them.
One intriguing theory joins the historical fate of the island of Santa Tirania with that of Atlantis. In around 1450 BC, a volcano in Santa Tirania exploded, literally tearing the island apart with its inhabitants on its back. Anyone on the island would have perished quite dramatically. And we do have archaeological remains that they show the relatively advanced culture was there. Their end was certainly been at the hands of fire and earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I know that Atlantis is another island. We'll probably do a whole episode or episodes on.
Oh yeah,
just with the theories and thoughts.
Yeah, that'd be fun to jump into because there's some that's definitely out there that I do not subscribe to, and there's some that like maybe seem a little bit more credible to me. But
see, I'm kind of with the narrator of this article's thinkings. I think it's a hybrid between real and story with a message.
Okay.
And Plato never goes into detail about technology.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I hate about like ancient aliens and like the ancient shows,
right,
where it says advanced technology and they never define it. Because 1450 indoor plumbing and aqueducts, 1450 BC,
yeah,
would have been advanced technology
for sure. Which,
but so would a flying car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so what do you, when you're saying advanced technology, what do you mean?
Like, yeah, is it modern technology? Is it better than modern technology?
Different.
Because you or different than modern, yeah, technology. Yeah, that would that be more advanced? I mean, I don't know. It's a weird way to describe it, but at the same time, there's no actual definition to advanced technology.
And that's what I think bugs me about Atlantis and those kind of things the most is,
yeah,
like now we romanticize or fantasize about it, but during the day, I don't know. It just, for it being 9,000 years before him.
Yeah. How do you describe something like that? Like, if it is advanced, how would you describe it?
So it was already 90th hand story,
right,
by the time it got to Plato.
Right. Right. I mean, game of telephone at that point.
Yeah. So I kind of am one of those people that kind of have the mixed idea. I think Plato was using it for a story, but I think it probably was really told to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that an island of people with advanced cultures did disappear, whether it was on the back of a giant animal that crawled back into the ocean.
Right.
Or if it was, you know, like a volcano.
Just utter destruction. Or
I don't think they had flying cars or nothing like that.
But, right, but that doesn't... I mean, that's...
What's the device that was found at the bottom of the ocean? The world's first computer. Antikytherium device.
Antikytherium mechanism, yeah. Yeah.
That, like, that's advanced technology.
Very advanced. And but it's just all gears, and, you know, right, a lot of gears and things like that. And
it's nothing compared, like an idiot,
but trying to describe it. But
no, it's clock technology, just hyper advanced clock technology.
Right, right.
But it's nothing compared to a cell phone.
Right.
But it could still, they were talking that when they reconstructed, you ever seen it reconstructed?
Yeah.
It's the size of a table.
It's insane, yeah.
I don't even know how they figured that out.
I don't know either.
You know, it's the size of a bread box is the piece they found.
Right. Which,
and they think they found another piece of the outer ring. I think is how probably they got.
Who knows? That's the thing with all this stuff. They could just, it all can just be made up. Like, not made up in the sense of what they actually found, but the reconstructions, though, or even the explanations of this stuff, just could all be someone's idea.
And we need to do an episode on the Library of Alexandria.
No, the burning of, yeah.
Didn't they think they, don't a lot of historians have say that set humans back like 1300 or 1400 years?
That's what they say, yeah. But even then, like, how are we supposed to know at this point? A comedian made this really good point. I just heard it a few weeks ago and it made perfect sense, but talking about this stuff. He says, one day they're going to dig up, you know, like in 1,000 years from now, one of us, they're going to see a pair of our underwear and like our boxers, and they're going to see that hole in the front. And someone's going to be like, yep, this is where they would use this hole there to make it more convenient to use the bathroom. He's like, that's completely wrong. I don't even know why that hole's there. Nobody uses it. That's not what we use it for. But in the future, they're going to tell everyone that that's what we all did. It's not true.
You didn't pee ice fishing?
Huh?
You didn't pee ice fishing?
I did. I still don't. I just pulled my pants down.
Outside?
No, in that gross, disgusting outhouse.
No, you went to the... I forgot.
Yeah. I mean, if I... Did I go outside at all? I don't think I did.
Hey, Michigan news. A wolf was just killed in Battle Creek, Michigan, which is an hour and a half south of the cabin.
Yeah.
And they've been telling us there's no wolves at our cabins for years.
Yeah. They're a little wrong.
Yeah, because the guy killed it during coyote season.
Yeah.
Legally, he's like, oh, it's the biggest freaking coyote I've ever seen.
I bet it was.
It was a gray wolf.
Yeah.
And the DNR, he got to keep it because the DNR is like, it's illegal to shoot wolves, but it's, you know, 500 miles out of their
eye. Out of its range.
Their range.
Yeah.
They're not. They're there.
It's so like you're allowed to do that?
No, now. They'll have protection now.
Well, I mean, let's say we find a, I don't know, a kangaroo here in our backyard.
That's different. That's an exotic. Yeah, you can shoot that.
Okay. Cool.
If it's in your property, it's not in your neighbor's property.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what I mean.
But if you look out your back door and there's a kangaroo on your land.
Bam!
You can shoot somebody's cow, too.
Dang. We had pigs on our property once.
I remember you telling me. Chasing your dogs, right?
No, our dogs were chasing them.
So back to the islands.
Yes.
So this is, I don't know, this just, I wanted to do a story just about, you know, Spring Island. So I got some stuff, what's going on. You know, I kind of portrayed the bloop, and we're going to get to the bloop again. But just miswritten charts and graphs, mistaken identity, or language translation errors could be a big factor for all of this.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, there's hundreds of disappearing islands.
Okay.
hundreds. The list I pulled some of these off of was a list of 50. I pulled four.
Right. That's not, that's a small portion.
So, and I just tried to pick different oceans to try to get it, you know.
Yeah, variety, a little spice.
But there's a lot in the Arctic Ocean too, where they say like icebergs will actually pick up, like they're on the back of something.
Yeah.
And look like they're almost walking away. And Inuits will have a lot of legends of like ice floes coming alive and moving out like a different direction.
There's the one island supposedly in the North Pole that has the one island in the middle, and then it has the four big islands around it. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
It's got the four rivers running out of the main island in the middle, and that's what bleeds or leaks into the oceans of the world.
Is that real or?
I mean, are any of these real?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, is that like a folklore thing or is
no,
it
it's
something
like
that
old
people
maps,
talk about?
It's, yeah, it's old like legends and stuff. Like that's where...
That's in One Piece too.
Really?
Yeah.
It's mentioned a lot in a bunch of different places. Like the one island in the middle is like a big magnetic rock. And that's why the North Pole always points to the... Or why we always point to the North Pole because that big island in the middle is magnetic. They say there was ancient cultures that lived there when the Northern Arctic was... ice free and like it was like tropical, like the weather was different there. So they, there's advanced cultures that lived up there. Then they spread south and spread civilization around the world.
Didn't the Nazis say that? I think that's what the Nazis believe that because the Germanic people came from the deep Arctic North.
Oh, maybe
they spread advanced cultures to the world.
That's where like the Aryan people were at. Yeah,
and that's why they believed that the Himalayas had. Germanic influences because they were so high and cold that only Germans could live there.
Ah, see? The pieces just start falling together.
Nazi logic.
Yeah. No, I think they...
Causes you to burn a lot of people.
I don't think they came up with that. I think they got that from other
cultures.
No,
I think they ran with it. No,
yeah.
I mean, just,
well, for sure.
That's what the Nazis did. You know, is they took something and...
Right.
Like, I like this.
It wasn't their own original creation
like
or thought.
Madame Blavatsky...
Yeah.
Had a big part in the Nazi party without even knowing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's a lot of her teachings is what led them to burn a lot of people in different countries.
Nice. So just let that be, I guess, everyone be aware.
Okay.
Your words and thoughts
do
can
matter.
Change the world.
They do matter.
Yes.
So just miswritten charts, graphs, mistaken identity, and language transferring errors. Because a lot of maps were translated from different language
right.
through cartography. So that could be... that, you know, they kind of misspeak where an island is or what an island is. Is it a sandbar? Is it an actual island? That kind of stuff. What do you think about that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, especially with the game of telephone and being that old, a lot of these things could be mistranslated, misinterpreted, and just going down a line. Then you realize one day you go to that spot and there's nothing there. Never was.
Now, do you think Atlantis in... Lemuria are the same place?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I think they're different.
What makes you think? I'm just curious. I don't have a hard opinion on it either way. They're very similar to me.
Yeah.
So I could see in how old the story is, I could see it hitting both edges of the, you know, because you pick your ocean area, right?
Right, yeah.
If you're in the Pacific, you're going to be like, yeah, it's out there in the middle of the Pacific. If you're in the Atlantic, you're going to be like, it's out there in the middle of the Atlantic.
Right.
But I don't know.
I just think Lemuria is from a... is in the Indian Ocean. War was in the Indian Ocean. Sank
a lot
there.
Of islands sank.
And that's
I think
where,
our Trunco episode, we talked about that.
I think so, yeah. And I think it connected from where Madagascar is now all the way to India now.
We talked about that, yeah.
And that's where they say, that's why lemurs are like an old world species, and they're only on Madagascar. And they say they were from like Lemuria. That's why they're called lemurs. And there was like the connection there. Little things like that. I think it was in the Atlantic Ocean. But I think they both may have existed at different times. Like that one may have been powerful when another one wasn't even a thing yet. So I don't know the time scale of anything because we're lying about everything we're taught in school. So
I thought you were saying we're lying. And I was like,
no, we were
I'm
lied
not
to.
Trying to.
We were lied to about everything.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
Next one is falsehoods and lies to boost a hero's reputation. Or for folklore.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Like St. Bernard's story and stuff.
Right,
and
Keep
in mind, St. Bernard didn't publish those stories.
Oh, he kept them hidden?
They were published 200 years after his death. They were found.
Oh.
So was he doing creative writing exercise?
Did he even write them?
And that's the question, too. was somebody just trying to cash in on his reputation later.
Right.
Because he was known as a traveler. That's accurate.
Right.
So I could see it either way, that these were fun writing exercises he was doing, maybe, you know.
That's what we could do. We could find an old explorer from like 400 years
ago. That's my opinion. They did with Admiral Byrd.
Yeah, I know. You did say that. We could do like Tom Slick's Diaries part three. I don't know if there's a part one or two yet, but
there's part one, remember?
Oh, there is. I seen that book.
Lauren Coleman, wrote it.
Yeah, yeah. We could do a part three, like, the missing chapters.
There's no two.
It's even more secret. And then like, 10 years later, you find part two.
You got to do like six or seven. Yeah. Like part six or seven.
They skip all the way that
and then
part.
Make people really look
it's like,
hard.
Like Star
for
Wars.
For three to four.
Like Star Wars. You start at 4, 5, 6.
Oh, there you go. No, so what do you think about this? Falsehoods, lies, and to bolster a hero's reputation.
I can't rule it out as being some of it. Sometimes like it can happen.
The Argonaut story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It could very well be.
I don't know. I don't,
that
people,
might, that could be a script from an old play.
It came up on charts at the time also.
Yeah.
But how active, I don't know. We're talking, a lot of these are ancient. The first story I told you was 2016.
Right, which... Very current.
Yeah. So I don't know, but that's one thing to definitely think about.
Right, yeah. You always have to be skeptical.
Yeah, especially like we start talking about like Atlantis time scale.
Right, yeah.
9,000 years before Plato.
Mm-hmm.
How long was Plato?
What was he, BC? He was BC, like, so, I don't know.
11,000 years ago at this point.
Right, when the
Great Deluge or the Apocalypse Randall Carlson talks about.
What's he say, though? Something impact theory.
Not the Tunguska event.
No, it's not that.
Anyways.
That was a Nikola Tesla experiment.
My next one is probably going to be your favorite.
Giant turtle.
No.
Oh.
Massive ship cities from ancient super cultures.
Ship cities?
So there's a lot of talks that these ships, these islands,
mm-hmm.
were actually massive ships that they were growing agriculture on and stuff like that. That's why these islands are moving around so much.
Outer Heaven.
I don't know what that is.
It's from Metal Gear. Outer Heaven. It was where the elites, like the most powerful people that kind of controlled everything, they created their own ship, and they basically... They went out to the ocean. They lived out there, but they were free from, I guess, anyone trying to thwart them or take over or steal their power from them. They had this safe space called Outer Heaven that they built that was out in the ocean.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So this could explain how some of these ancient supercultures spread their influence on several different continents very easily.
Yeah, they just pop in whenever they want.
Yeah, they had fleets, because they talked about some of these fleets of the Atlanteans could show up like in seconds.
Yeah.
Well, the whole island's moving. The fleet's just attached to the edge of it.
Right, yeah.
They're farming on it. You know, right. It's this whole thing. The Life of Poe even did it.
Life of Poe?
Yeah, with the lion or the tiger in the boat.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Or Pi, Life of Pi.
Oh, Life of Pi. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, Pi. I know what you're talking about. I still never seen it.
Where they ended up on a giant, it was bamboo.
Mm.
But the island was massive.
Yeah.
And it had, I think it just had, in the movie, it had meerkats on it because they ended up on it and the tiger was eating the meerkats because they had so many generations of no predators.
Yeah.
But the bamboo species would produce toxins at night and kill a whole bunch of fish underneath it.
Nice.
And that's what the meerkats were eating.
Oh, okay.
But it was like a giant floating mat.
Yeah.
And we have like a lot of Pacific Islanders, a lot of their cultures had massive townships
mm-hmm.
that would go out along with their fleet to transfer their whole island's population to different islands.
Is that where we got the name townships?
I don't know. Maybe that we could be, but like anybody watches Moana and stuff like that, they show it right. I think at the end where some of these ships are actually like massive. You know, they're carrying a culture on them. So the thing I'm talking about is if let's say this is a super culture.
Yeah,
they're not steering probably with wind. They're probably using ocean currents. Something underneath the mat you can't see is turning and catching ocean water to move against
around.
Or with the current or whatever.
Yeah.
So what if that's what's happening? That's how they could spread through South America, like the pyramid building culture, whatever.
Right,
like
that. Yeah, yeah. They spread that information quickly
very
around
easily.
The world. Yeah.
Because they're taking their whole culture with them. They have all the resources they need.
Right.
Is, 100 miles off the coast.
All they got to do is send the
ships.
Naked
anchor and stuff like that.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
Holy smokes. I never thought about that. But there might be something to it. And then townships just...
Is that what sold you? Here's kind my of. Thing is a lot of those shows, I'm forgetting the name. What's the famous ancient alien? Not ancient aliens, ancient culture guy.
Ancient Giorgio?
Not aliens.
Oh.
Cultures.
Randall Carson, Graham Hancock.
Hancock. They never talk about that, and I don't understand why. They've said it a couple times. Don't get me wrong.
I think he said they were definitely advanced seafaring
people.
Yeah.
But they were from somewhere.
Yeah, basically.
I'm saying they're taking home. Home is them.
Right.
They're going and just traveling.
Which that would make more sense than having a home base that could be invaded or something, you know.
And like, so these islands that people visit that they say giants are on that disappear and stuff like that. They could be, and we talked about so many on the show, of how absolutely massive the ocean is.
Right.
And you can hide in it. 71% of the Earth's surface is open ocean.
And we have not really charted or...
You can't.
Yeah.
And we have shipping lanes. So right. So most of the ships don't leave a very small section of the open ocean.
Right, exactly.
Because they'll die.
Yeah.
If they go down outside of the shipping lanes, there's nobody coming to help.
Right.
It's not worth it. Like, they're not going to get to you in time.
Right.
Before the black tip ocean sharks tear you apart.
Or the bloop, you know, it just comes up and slams its claws together. And
well, that's where they sail through. They're like, I bet you I can beat that with a cruise ship.
Oh, I bet that, yeah. You ever been on a cruise ship?
No. It doesn't sound fun to me.
It's not bad, but it is eerie.
I don't like being trapped.
It's weird. Like, when you're out on top of the boat in the middle of the day, let's just say it's noon, you can't see. You just see ocean. You can't see anything. So, it looks like you're not even moving. It's like you're floating in a fog.
Here's the thing with the cruise ship, because I'm glad you said that. They disappear. Not often, but when they disappear, they disappear. And you can't find them.
Mm. And they're massive.
This is like a big flat cruise ship.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it had many stories. It may have had a couple, you know, 2-3-story buildings or whatever on it. I think it was just built out wide.
Yeah.
And that's how it, you know, survived some of these storms. I think it, you know, crawled over the waves and stuff like that, so it didn't break apart.
You'd have to, yeah.
Because, like, you ever seen those docks?
The floating docks. Yeah,
where they I think that's what was happening.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they knew the seasons, and they'd park the island in appropriate waters for appropriate times. I'm sure they missed pretty much every storm.
Yeah, they probably, if they were that advanced they might know.
I mean, the weather radar and stuff like that.
They got some witch doctor shaman that can predict the weather. And
just a beetle.
Actually, he probably controls the weather. That's probably how they moved.
It was they had a weather predicting beetle. You ever seen the Beverly Hillbillies with it?
Yeah. What do they do with that? I forgot. I remember.
He's in a little box, and Granny's challenging the weatherman.
Yeah.
And the weatherman's like, I went to school. And then he, after they fight, and Granny leaves and proves and beats him, he looks up at his grandfather's photo, which is the U.S.'s best weatherman ever.
Yeah.
And he sees in his grandpa's hand, he's holding a little beetle box.
Yeah.
So he realized his grandpa cheated too.
Yeah. Well, you know. Sometimes the to get to the top, you gotta have a little trick.
Do you like the giant, massive city ships?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I think that's very well.
Some of these things. Like what I said, if it's this going is a big hodgepodge.
It might be happening still now.
I think they're still out there. I'm not saying they're not.
Yeah.
Because some of these stories are still in the 18th, 19th century.
Yeah.
I think if they're still out there, they're really in hiding now, like around Point Nemo.
That or, you know, that the Google Maps may have accidentally
caught a couple of them. Oh, with the picture?
And that's why it's, like, gone now. Like, oops, erase. Like, guys, we're not supposed to show our secret little spots here.
You think it's... In my head, it's a separate culture that doesn't want anything to do with us.
Right.
At this point.
Either it doesn't want anything to do with us or wants everything to do with controlling us.
You think it's those guys?
I mean, why not hide out there?
Because I think they got scared of us. Whoever this is, I think they were... They could have been mound builders. They could be actual giants. Maybe not true bloodline Nephilim, but, like... The whatever's left, because that would be a lot easier if you were a giant to kind of manhandle this structure.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So, and then, you know, we started killing all the giants on land and stuff like that. They're like, you know what? We're just going to
go out here.
We're going to float for a while and fight sharks, hunt whales.
It's like a giant lazy river life. A
giant lazy river. Just going around the jet stream.
Floating around, dipping your fingers and toes in the pool every now and then. I mean,
if you're an 18-foot tall human, what can eat you in the ocean?
Shark.
A big
turtle.
A real big turtle. You're going to like next week's Freak of Fauna. I didn't know you were on this big turtle kick.
Just something about, you know, we love turtles on this show. Turtles and tortoises alike.
All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes.
Which I thought my tortoise.
You thought you killed Tiki? Did you put her outside when you shouldn't have?
No. I guess I'll share it real quick since I'm on this. No, she's fine, by the way. She's fine. I was gone all yesterday, But yesterday morning, the heat bulb went out. Turns out it didn't go out. That's a whole other separate story. One of the outlets, it's an old house. One of the outlets probably broke, and they're all chained together, so all the outlets went out in that room. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get Tiki a heat bulb because I had a bunch of – I was running around a lot yesterday. Came back home, and I know that's when I remembered I forgot the heat bulb. I'm like, oh, shoot. But she still got her heating mat in there. But then I remember the heat map. Duh, it don't work either because none of the outlets work. So I go to her pen and move her little house to see if she's under there. She's gone. So my roommate that was living there, she must have picked him up and sat her out to play with her, and forgot to put her back away. So now I'm searching around in my house to try to find Tiki, and I found her. She had walked her way into like this certain corner of the room and buried herself back behind. So I found her, but I picked her up. She's cold. I'm like, oh no. And like her arms and legs were like cold, but like stiff. And I'm like, are you alive? And I'm like poking her. She didn't really move. So I looked up into her shell and I could see her eyes open. And she's looking at me. So I touched her nose and she did that psss. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, I'm like, all right, you're good. You're good. So I put her back in. I had the new heat bulb, screwed it in, got it nice and hot, just sat her under it. But then this morning I heard her. She's roaming around. She's fine. But I had a scare.
All right. To the meat and potatoes of this episode, the bloop.
The bloop. All right.
So I think some of these islands, specifically that first one really got me thinking that there, and we've talked about it before with the bloop episodes, being just, you know, mistaken for whole living reefs or islands and stuff like that. That's why they don't get found very easily. They look like whole rock outcrops. I think that mud fossil guy on YouTube had a video of what looks like a plateau standing up in the bottom of the ocean.
Hmm.
Like a massive piece of rock. Because it's a video that I think NOAA was claiming was basically tectonic plate activity.
Hmm. Now I'm skeptical.
And he said it was, he said it was got like a Godzilla.
Yeah.
And I don't think they can move that fast personally.
Yeah.
Because we're talking, you know, the metabolism rates of the animals of that size to move that fast. Like, they would starve to death before they took a couple steps.
And it's not swimming. It's walking.
Nothing that big, in my opinion, can swim.
Yeah.
I think they better have
a big swim bladder.
That'd be different if it was floating.
Yeah.
Like a jellyfish, you know, they swim-ish, you know, but they're mostly neutrally buoyant.
Right, yeah.
But something like that heavy, where these giant colonial organisms, I think some of them could have trees on their backs and stuff like that, you know. There was one, I think it was an SCP that's based off of this, that shows like essentially like a giant, either like halfway between a centipede and a trilobite.
Okay.
And there are ancient organisms that live on the bottom of the ocean. And a lot of times parts of their body will have sand on it and islands and trees and that kind of stuff. Because they move like 4 or 5 meters a year, but they're like 5 or 6 miles long.
You know, what's a freshwater companion that does that too?
Hmm.
Has moss and mud and grass growing its back.
Now I've seen the we need to do another giant turtle episode.
American loggerhead.
Which is?
Alligator snapping turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen, there's that video, that common snapping turtle that emerges from like a field, has all the dirt and plants still on its back.
Yeah, like literally has a thick foot layer of it.
See, to me, a reptile, I don't think a reptile would get that big.
Hmm.
See, these, to me, are either massive colonial organisms.
Yeah.
Like a reef that can move and crawl around and stuff. And they may be able to move kind of quick, like for a short burst. Like the one that ate the cable was probably over weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like it went up there and snatched the cable and dragged it off.
And instantly it was gone, yeah.
It was probably weeks or months to do that.
The dead of the night.
Because they can't go down there and check on it, because that part of the ocean is so dangerous.
Right.
And that's why the subs can use it to sneak out, because there's no ships over top.
Right.
So there's no radar to catch them. Or, I'm sorry, sonar. So what if it's these gigantic islands, and people get on them for a couple generations, and then the island decides it's time to move.
Hmm.
And goes down. Or I think it was the original black and white Dr. Doolittle had it, where the one island was a giant starfish like creature. And because it was the moving island, I think it was the name of the Dr. Doolittle movie.
Okay.
And it had all these rare endangered species on it. It was because it was literally a starfish. And it was just crawling along the bottom, and just the very top of its middle section was out.
Yeah.
So I think there could be something with this, with some of these islands. You know, you talk about St. Bernard's stories. If they're real, if they're not, you know, who knows? but where he literally, the best he could describe it is a whale. They found a couple of these islands in this chain, this archipelago. They found, they're all whales. But, you know, was it, you know, we talk about a lot with the, using the word whale just means big animal.
Right, yeah.
Not that it's a whale, like a baleen whale.
Right.
And he said, to the best of his description, a whale.
Beaked whale.
Yeah, well, you see the bottlenose whale that was our page?
That was pretty, yeah. If you haven't seen the bottlenose whale on Cryptid Corn Facebook page, pretty sweet. Looks like a weird, it looks like a deformed dolphin.
Yeah, except it's like 50 foot long.
Yeah, gigantic waterhead dolphin.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's out sonar, deep diving.
Yeah.
That's what they hunt.
It's crazy looking, but that's awesome.
It was eating dead flounder off of a fishing boat.
Okay.
That's what they were throwing back in.
What an awesome video, though.
Yeah, they're big. So I don't know. What do you think about Bloop being some of these islands?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, because something's down there eating the cable. Something's down there making the noises. You know, in the first Bloop episode, we had the audio recordings and whatnot, and something's massive in there.
There was Bloop, Julia.
There's five or six different.
There's all kinds of them.
Big ones we played, but... So, yeah, I mean, something's down there, so it could be. I mean, I can't rule that out, but I like the floating... The floating island.
I thought
you'd
like that.
Yeah. I think that there might be something to it.
No, I think it's a mixed bag, like most of the episodes we do.
I think it's a good idea. I think we should start just gathering material. Use every penny we collect from this podcast, and we'll start just making a raft in the ocean.
Right now, that's going to medical bills, so you'll have to wait.
You won't have medical bills when you're living on a raft in the middle of the ocean.
I gotta wait for babies to get here.
Well, yeah, I mean, one step at a time.
We gotta build it in the Ohio River and float down to the ocean.
And it's got to be big.
I told you we almost did that, right?
Yes, we were going to. That was the plan.
Mm-hmm. Everybody bailed.
Weak.
Mm-hmm. I had a plan.
Society's...
We were going to take Dumbball's pontoon platform.
We need a bunch of pontoon boats. Just a bunch of them. We'll just tie them together. We'll all live out in the ocean.
There's barnacles out there that eat metal.
Well, that's... you slowly replace it with... I don't know, flotation devices.
You just don't know until
life
one
jackets.
Starts. So in my head, it was like bamboo almost, right? It's like a living platform. So it almost, kind of biologically engineered to where through selective breeding and stuff like that. Because there's plenty of cultures on Earth that grow their own houses. They grow their own chairs and stuff like that. So what if they're growing a ship? And that's why it's so flexible and why it can ride on top of the waves. It's buoyant. Bamboo is just one in my head because it's hollow. It floats really well.
Right.
It's super strong.
Yeah.
Especially when it gets like a foot. And it can constantly be repairing itself.
Yeah.
Because you have to have something... For something that size, you got to think there's constant stuff.
It's probably filtering the salt water too, mm-hmm. and turn it into fresh and using it.
Could be giant mangrove trees.
Oh, yeah.
Mangrove boats. Anything else to add?
No, this is... I didn't... Blue part three.
Blue part three. Took you. You never even got it. I thought you were getting the secret secret title.
I did get it. Bloop is a giant turtle, and this is a giant turtle story.
I missed that button right there. See, I could meet you on mine, but it didn't do anything for the recording.
Aha.
I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jay, clone 42. We didn't say that at the beginning of the episode.
I did. I don't think that was the number I said.
Oh, okay.
At all.
No, you said like
762 or something.
42.
All right, guys. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.